This message from God's Word is being brought to you by Brother Peter Bouse at the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. Brother Bouse brings us a lesson about every day is new. Turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3. And now, Brother Bouse.
So I was getting ready for this lesson, and I put together an illustration, and then I remembered that I was in Florida. And so it may not resonate with a lot of you, or may, I don't know, because I'm not from Florida. But I was thinking back to a couple years ago in Atlanta, snowpocalypse hit. And it was the absolute funnest time of my life. I got a week out of school. Any kid's dream is a snow day, especially when you live in Georgia and the average temperature in the winter is like 40. So snow days are few and far between, and I loved it. And it was really funny because you go to the store and at any mention of snow in Georgia, people run to the store and buy milk and bread. I don't get that. If I'm going to be stuck in my house, my first thing's not milk and bread. It's probably Mountain Dew and pizza rolls. But that's just me. I don't get that. But the thing about it is I love snow days, not because of the milk and bread that mom came bringing home as soon as they said that it was going to snow the next day. I loved it because the next morning, there was going to be this white layer of ice. And I make sure I imply that it's ice because it wasn't snow. I didn't know that because I thought it was snow. But it turns out it's ice because it doesn't snow in Georgia. And so that's why I say that you guys might not resonate because I don't know if it snows down here. Does it snow?
No.
No? Sometimes? Every once in a while?
No.
But so, to me, it was so cool because here was a brand new surface on the ground. And we have a lot of green grass at our house. And you wake up in the morning and it's all white. And it's kind of a cool thing. And for me, growing up, when I was younger, when Philip and Paul were still in the house and it would happen, I always wanted to wake up first. Because I always wanted my footprints to be the first one in the snow. And the thing about that is, though, it's kind of selfish. It's kind of selfish that was my idea. It was that I wanted to have the first steps. I wanted my trail to be the one that everyone saw first. And what kind of irritates me with that and makes me flustered in my own self is we do that every day. Every day, there's a new white surface in front of us. And each day, we blaze a new path. And the thing about it is you can do anything you want to do each day. You can do something new any way you look at it. If you wake up in the morning and you decide that I'm going to brush my teeth with orange juice, you can do that. Like, that's something that you can do that no one else has done. But the thing about it is there are bigger things in life than brushing your teeth with orange juice. There are bigger paths in life that you can make on your own each day you wake up. And this morning, I want to look at that. Because whether or not you know it, or whether or not you think about it, each one of us, in one way, shape, or form, is at the start line to a new path. And this morning, you heard the verse was read a moment ago. We're going to spend a little bit of time in Joshua. So if you want to head over to Joshua chapter 3, is where we're going to do a lot of our camping out in. But we're going to move around in Joshua 1 and 2 a little bit. But I say all this in opening to make this point. Whether or not you know it, and like I just said, you're at the start line, you haven't gone this way before, something new is about to come, and I think the way that Joshua talks here can be a good lesson that we can learn. If you need a background on the situation, it goes something like this. Moses has led the people of Israel, and he's recently died. God has now commissioned Joshua to lead the people into the promised land of Canaan. Now, during God's commission to Joshua, I'm tongue-tied right there. We read God uses phrases like, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. The Lord God is with you wherever you go." God is acting like a parent. How many times when you have kids, do you have to reassure them that the noise in the closet isn't a ghost or it isn't a monster? I remember I didn't sleep upstairs in my house until I was like 13 because I was horrified. Sorry, I just hit the mic. I was horrified of what was in the dark. And my mom tried to reassure me every night. And it got to the point where she started paying me a dollar each night I slept upstairs by myself. Fun fact, I didn't get many dollars because I still wouldn't do it. But God here is acting like a parent. He's reassuring Joshua of what's to come. Following the command, though, of God, Joshua sends spies into the land to report on whether or not the land is able to be taken. And we see their response in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 24. And it says this, "And they said to Joshua, 'Truly the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us.'" Up to this point, it's a pretty good sign. Our story, our portion of scripture that we're going to spend the most time in today, starts in Joshua chapter 3, though. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1, we see that the people of the Israelites have come to the Jordan River. And here, we pick up in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 2. And it says this, "At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, 'As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may pass, that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before.' Then Joshua said to the people, 'Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.' And Joshua said to the priests, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people.' So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people." You see, to this point, Joshua and the Israelites' life hadn't been all that easy. They had wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, and from everything that I can read, it wasn't very easy to be a nomadic people. Not just that, they were constantly in struggles with different people and different people's so-called gods. And yet it was at this point, when they come to the Jordan, that the phrasing is used, "You have not passed this way before." The same goes for us. You see, whether or not we're talking about what Kyle talked about this morning and we're talking about an election, something's going to change in the next couple of months when whoever wins the presidency takes office. It's not going to be the same either way you look at it. This church isn't going to be the same in a couple of months. Kyle's leaving. I told Kyle I'd mention him leaving. So that's one. That's one reference. Just keep the counter if anyone wants to. But Kyle's leaving. This church is going to change in a way. As you guys start to look for someone who's going to take this pulpit and is going to help you grow the church and is going to help you become a place where people can worship with you. That's going to be something that happens. You're looking for someone who can help this church grow in so many ways. And whether or not that you've had a preacher search before, you haven't had this one. This one's new. And even breaking it down to the youth, because I get to work with them all summer. What happens in 2 weeks? You're back to school. In 2 weeks, you start something you've never started before, whether it's high school. I loved high school. It was so much fun. I was so cool. But hey, middle school, I started middle school and I wasn't cool. So no matter which one you're starting, whether it's high school or middle school or just a random year, in either of the two, you don't know what's coming. It's something new. It's something you haven't done before. And it's something that we have to prepare for. You see, I mentioned earlier that no matter who you are, whether you admit it or not, something new is coming. Whether it's on a personal level, on a church level, or on a political level, something new is coming soon. Some of you are at the start line ready to go. Some of you are at the start line in a really awkward position. And some of you may even be turned around backwards at the start line. But no matter what, coming up, you're going to start something new. The question is, how do we go about it? I think we can learn three cool things from what Joshua says here, or what the book of Joshua says here in Joshua chapter 3. And the first one is this. It comes in Joshua chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. "And command the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from you, from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. The first thing to remember is this. We have to follow the ark. If you remember correctly, the Ark of the Covenant was the physical reminder and dwelling place of God during this period of time. What's happening here, at least in my mind, is the officers are telling the people to fix their eyes on God as they go through this new terrain. As they go on this new journey, the important thing they're supposed to remember is to keep their eyes on God. It was important for them to look forward and to focus not on what, but who could deliver them. And when I think of this, I can't help but think about when we went to the ropes course my freshman year of college. They take you to the ropes course during iStart week. And you climb up this like 30-foot pole in the air, and they make you walk across this real thin line of wire. And you have the harness on, and if you've ever done it, you can have the harness, you can hold on to the harness, but the 30 feet that goes down is still enough to make you shake and quiver. And you think about that, and you're looking forward, and the important thing they tell you is keep your eyes focused on where you're going, not on what's down below you, not on the distance that's down, not on how small the cord is. They want you to focus on what is before you. And I think that's the same thing here. If we focus on God, our success will be there. And have you ever considered the importance of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It's our job to focus and look at God. As we start new things, we need to remember that. That on our journey, our focus needs to not be on what we think can deliver us, but on the person who we know can. The next thing that we notice in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4. And it's kind of an awkward thing. It's one of those things when I read this verse the first time, it didn't make a lot of sense. You see the mention of a distance. It's about half a mile. And it doesn't make a lot of sense, or it makes sense in one context, because the ark was holy, and they were supposed to follow a distinct set of rules when handling the ark. But the thing about it is it's kind of weird. It's not very easy to make a point from that. But I think there's something you can learn from that. And I think it's this. You need to distance yourself from God. And I say that, and I can already kind of see maybe where your head is going. I'm not arguing that you need to separate yourself from God. But what I am trying to say is this. It's important that we distance ourselves in a way where we still have a reverence for Him. Sorry, I just lost my part in my notes. What I'm trying to say is that you need to hold God in a high enough place where He's not just another thing in your life. Think about this, for example. You have a problem in your life. You try to fix it. You can't do it. You go to a friend. They try and fix it for you, and they can't fix it. You do what Nolan does. You Google it. Google doesn't work. And then, when you're all out of options, you think to yourself, oh, I got God. I can pray to God. You see, for so long, that's been our mindset in things. We try and do it on our own. So we try and get people to help us. We forget the fact that we have a God who is greater to do more than all we ask or imagine. And yet we treat Him like He's second option. You see, they treated the ark in a way because it was where God was. It was God's presence. They treated it like it was holy, and I think that's the same thing that we need to do. The importance of the distance was to keep a reverence. I think we can do the same. If when we face new things, we will set a reverence on God as being more, then we too can have a respect for that. We too can see how great God is, and we too can follow Him better. the next thing I think that we can see comes in verses 5 and verses 17. And it reads like this. Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And then verse 17 we jump down to, and it says this. Now the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all of Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. You see, Joshua's prep for the people by telling them to follow the Ark, keep a safe distance, and tomorrow God will do wonders among you. You see, we're in the same situation. The only difference is we can't see the outcome to ours already, but we can see how it finished here. The raging river was stilled, and the people could, for the first time, cross over the Jordan on dry land. You see, it was at this point that all things were made able to do. Because the people, and I just lost my sabbat again in my head. The people right here were letting God do the work. They could have tried to cross the river on their own in whatever way they wanted to. But they allowed God to do a God thing and stop the waters. You see, when we do that, we echo the words of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 that say, "Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you." When we allow Him to do the things for us, I think it sets out a great path for us. In Genesis chapter 1, it says that God created all things from nothing. If we believe that without a doubt in our mind, then we have to be able to believe a simple thought, that He can bring change in our lives. We have to believe that if He can do that, then He can do far more abundantly than all we ask or imagine. You know, there's certain verses that you hear growing up. You hear John 3:16 all the time. Genesis 1 is one of them. And if we can believe that so much, then sometimes why can't we believe that God can do great things in us? You see, each of us here today, whether we're a kid, an adult, a preacher, the song leader, the deacons, the elders, whoever you are, if you're just a person who sits in a pew, each and every moment of our days, we're blessed with a bright, white, smooth new canvas that we can leave our mark in. So you see, our feet will determine the path, and our decision will result in permanent marks left on the glistening canvas. And the thing about it is whether you welcome this new path or not, whether you're looking forward to what's coming, or you're kind of scared about what the future may hold, I want you to know a couple of things. You're not alone. There's a God that will go with you to wherever you go. You don't have to make it work all by yourself. And it won't always be easy. But if you are willing to follow the Ark, if you're willing to give some healthy distance, keeping God as someone spectacular to be worshipped and adored, and let God do all the hard work, or let God do the hard work, you can rest assured that all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. You see, this evening, this afternoon, whatever you want to call it, we have an opportunity. We come to a point in the lesson that we call the invitation, and I'll walk away from the podium for a moment and try and be as hype as Kyle was this morning. We come to a point in our lesson where, or in our worship, where you have an opportunity. You get an opportunity to make things right in your life. Not that you can't do that at any time, but we offer this moment as a chance of expedience. You see, no matter what you do, there's a new path before you. Whether it's at this church or in school or wherever it is, there's a new path. The thing about it is, though, God offers you a way for you to be new as well. Whether it's through the waters of baptism or prayer and repentance, God gives us an avenue that we too can become as new as the journey that we're about to travel. The question is this: are you ready to be new again? as we go about our lives, I think something that is very significant, and I'm going off my notes right here, so if I ramble, I'm sorry. I think something that's very significant is that you don't know what's going to happen. You know, I'll be the first to tell you, my life didn't go as expected all the time, and I grew up in the church. I had two of my buddies pass away when I was in high school. It was some of the saddest moments of my life. And then I had two friends of mine that I wasn't even close to pass away. And at that point, I was a senior in high school, and I'm the leader of the wrestling team, and one of our other wrestlers die, and everyone's broken, and I was expected to be a leader. And on my senior day at school, I had to read a kid's obituary, you know. And I was kind of selfish. I didn't like that, you know. It was a day that was about me, and I was reading something like that. That was sad. You see, I didn't know that the Lord could have used me right there. I wasn't ready for that moment spiritually. I wasn't ready for it. As a senior in high school, I wasn't ready for it. It took me a long time to realize the importance of God in your life. It took me a long time growing up in the church. You know, I went every day on a Sunday from the time I was born to the time I was 20. And it took me 20 years to realize something very important. That with God in your life, with a focus on God, no matter what happens, you can do it. It's something so cliche. We say it all the time, you know. I was that kid I had on my shoes growing up, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sometimes I think we use that verse a little bit out of context, but the idea behind it, I don't think we do at all. There's a God who can do anything. There's a God who can do far more abundantly than all we ask or imagine. And I think sometimes we forget the importance of focusing on Him. So no matter what you do in life, remember that. No matter what path you're about to go on, as this church goes, focus on God, and I promise you the right preacher is going to come. I'm 20. I've never been in an elders and deacons meeting looking for a preacher until I sat in two the past couple of weeks. Guess what? I don't have a lot of information about some of the stuff y'all were talking about. Y'all were getting deep on, not deep, but into like issues that I have no idea about. But the one thing I know is that if you look to God and you let God redefine your decisions, great things can happen. That's my 2 cents from that meeting too, because I didn't feel like I could say it while I was sitting in there. Whether it's school, guys, you're about to go to school. My senior year of high school, I had a girl tell me she didn't see me as a church type. That hurt. That really hurt really bad. You know, I just went 18 years of school with these, or 12 years of school with these people, and they don't see me as a church type. That hurts. You have the opportunity to affect change. Make sure you put God in front of you so you can. You see, no matter what you do, God in front of you, there's nothing that can stop you. So tonight, if you need anything from this church can help you do anything. Don't let this moment get away. If you need God tonight to make you new again so that as you start a new path, you can overcome it, would you please come now as we stand and as we sing?
This message has been brought to you by the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. For questions, comments, prayers, or Bible study, please call, mail, or email us. Or visit us on the internet at scenichillschurchofchrist.org. God bless.